Hey, you beautiful listeners. We are back with another episode of Asleep by the Laptop, the podcast series all about topics that keep you up late at night and Googling. This week's topic I'm super excited to talk about is the best and worst of leadership. We're going to share some stories and talk about leadership because it's something that keeps a lot of us up late at night. We've all had a good and a bad manager, or a good and a bad educator or mentor or a teacher. And I think a lot of people are going to enjoy this podcast topic. So we're just going to jump into it. It's another solo episode situation until we can figure out guest speakers and that whole situation. But worry not, it's going to be conversational. We're going to share some good stories. Alrighty. We're going to start with what traits make a good leader. This is going to be fundamental for the rest of this conversation as we talk about different styles of leadership, different people in management, different people in leadership, and how they lead themselves, and how they lead other people and get the results that they want to truly achieve, right? And the results that other people that they're leading want to achieve as well. So I pulled up a research study that was conducted by two leadership development consultants by the last name Zenger and Folkman. And they interviewed more than 300,000 business leaders to talk about the top competencies of leadership. So at the very least, what are these leaders what do leaders have in common, or the most effective leaders have in common? And the 10 qualities that they found, and I'll read them off to you, include: they inspire and motivate others, they display high levels of integrity and honesty, they solve problems and analyze issues, they drive for results, they communicate powerfully, they build relationships, they display technical or professional expertise, they display strategic perspective, they develop others, and they innovate. So these were the 10 top qualities that were found throughout the survey of different leaders and what they thought was fundamental skill or a key skill for every great leader. And maybe you're a leader yourself and you're out there thinking that this is very intangible in a lot of ways, right? Because a good portion of these key competencies or key traits feel as if they're emotion-based, and that's very hard to measure. And the other half is dependent on structures and opportunities to be able to make and influence changes as it relates to taking action and being consistent and showing up. So there's almost an encouragement to be very fluid in how you move about different parts of an organization or different structures within wherever you work. So if you're a school teacher, you may have a lot of roles and structures to lead up a classroom, right? And that may prevent you from being able to fully develop others or fully build relationships with the people that you are leading. I think the times when I had the freedom and the opportunity to be inspired and to take my own action was the time when I was able to help contribute to the success of the team. And I think that's really important because in situations where I wasn't given opportunities, I felt frustrated. I felt like I was underutilized, and that every time I wanted to contribute, it would be very difficult for me to actually make an impact. And one of the big driving factors behind having autonomy is actually what I like to call as a foundation, and that's the vision and the mission, right? Mission and the vision inspires us. It encourages us to delegate and have integrity and accountability to why we show up every day and how we show up every day. And I think when you're in a management role or a leadership role, it's about leading or inspiring or persuading other people to also do things that they never thought that they could. And again, like a vision statement, I feel like is higher up there in terms of aspiration. Like, it's a, you know, you could spend the rest of your life and still not quite meet it. And I think it's so a little far out of your reach that you feel like you could come into work every day and contribute to it, and that could leave a little bit of a legacy behind. Or maybe it's not a little legacy, a little bit of a legacy, right? It's a big legacy. And you having carved a path to show that it's possible, you having picked up the shovel and went through all of the hard parts of it, shows that other people can get through it too. And as you go and move about it, all of the feelings that come up, all of the emotion, all of the success, all of the wins come up, you remember that, and you remember exactly how you felt going through those hardships, so that when other people are going through it, you can also empathize with it and remember it and relate to people and lift them up as they go through that process. And I think that's how we truly, truly pay forward leadership in a inspirational way. That was a lot of ideals and optimism in that conversation. And I want to pivot towards the other side of it as well, because there are a lot of people who understand what it takes to have a good leader and they don't have that. So what do you do? You all have shared a lot of stories with me about bad managers. Managers that would close a door, have a one-on-one conversation, and then just absolutely curse you out. And I just want to let you all know, that's crazy. Okay, firstly, that's crazy. And that is a difficult situation to be in, and there are no doubts about it. Leaders will either pull you or leave you behind. And so this situation of having a bad manager, bad leader, is temporary. The best advice that I've ever gotten in my career about leadership is to not let toxic leadership take you down. Don't let it poison the water, poison the well of what you think is a true leader, or what it's like to work in a organization or career. Don't generalize. Because what happens when you begin to generalize or begin to let someone else's leadership or lack of leadership influence your career or your passions or how you spend your time, the more you're going to default on yourself. You're going to refuse to believe in yourself, refuse to inspire yourself. And it's not a great way to continue to grow, because there's so many studies that also have shown that how people treat you matters and how people perceive you matters. Keep detailed records of toxic behavior, write them down, bring up concerns in safe places to validate what is going on, and beginning to, you know, make sure that you have the correct perspective on what is going on in your difficult situation. If you're able to do that and articulate it in smart ways, you can eventually either influence change or at the very least stay true to who you are and allow yourself to be lifted up by other people who are inspirational to you. I also said that I was going to share stories and this was going to be conversational, and it is to a certain degree, but I haven't shared any stories. So there was a time when I started off in my career and I had set some goals for myself, personal development goals of being able to introduce myself to people and feeling comfortable, letting people know who I was, being able to share and give back to my community the different experiences I had and things I learned along the way. And so part of that was also speaking at conferences, which is something that I had enjoyed before starting my tech career in a traditional 9-to-5 job. I enjoyed being a teaching assistant. I enjoyed teaching workshops, hosting spaces, being able to communicate with others. And so when it was time for me to integrate that and bring that into the workplace, there was a lot of discontentment and disbelief that I could start earlier than others and be able to have something to share in a short amount of time since I had started at the company. And this is by no means a bad or the worst of leadership story, but it does describe when managers aren't either the best or the worst for you. And sometimes that's because the leadership aspects and the values and the principles just don't line up. And that will happen. Sometimes people can't relate to you or empathize or see where you want to go. So when it came time for the open call for papers to speak at a conference, I had applied for it with my own ideas, with my own sessions, and with my knowledge of how to apply for conferences, which is something that I had honed earlier before really the beginnings of my 9-to-5 setting or journey. So when it came time for that, I had applied and mentioned it as an afterthought to my manager, direct manager at the time. And one of the things that was mentioned to me was that they were surprised because based off of what he knew and what his perspectives were, people who were like me who submitted sessions weren't always the ones that were invited to speak or accepted to speak on stage. And I remember feeling as if I was being discouraged from applying, almost as if, well, if I didn't take the effort to apply, you shouldn't apply. And I didn't think much of it at the time, aside from the fact that I was willing to go out of my way to make my dreams come true. And when the time came, my conference session was accepted and I had a really great time speaking. But it did inform me of the patterns that were out there and the beliefs that people had about what it's like to show up and how certain perspectives can truly, truly limit you. And this never stopped during my time at that company. I was constantly being told to revise sessions after the fact of submitting them and after the fact of them being accepted without so-and-so's purvey. And I think in a lot of ways, people are ready to provide feedback without you actually even needing it. So this story is really to drive home that a lot of leaders or a lot of people who sometimes can seem very inspirational may not be the inspirational leader that you need at the moment. And what that produces is space for you to lead yourself. So this is my one story that I wanted to share, or at least extended story that I wanted to share. And it's just a small reminder to you that you're awesome and you don't need anything other than yourself. Keep track, keep record of all of your accomplishments. Celebrate each and every accomplishment like a true ideal manager or an ideal partner or an ideal teacher or ideal mentor would for you. Be your own leader, be your own mentor, be your own teacher. And when the right people show up, encourage them to meet that standard that you've now set for yourself. And the degree to which you understand and trust and lead yourself is equivalent to the degree of life that you will have. And not everyone is willing to go there as a leader or someone in a management or whatever position of authority. Not everyone is willing to do that hard work. So if you're out there searching this up, trying to find answers, kudos to you. I hope this was helpful for anyone looking for more inspiration around leadership, whether it's through the best of times or the worst of times. As I mentioned, this is a weekly podcast series, somewhat weekly, I suppose. Anyway, it's a weekly podcast series all about topics that keep you up at night. Hope you all enjoyed This podcast episode will have many more in the future. I'm so excited about the future topics. If y'all like this, leave a 5-star review, and we'll talk again next time.